This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row Studios in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
It's freezing, David.
It's freezing and rainy. Not my favourite combination, Rog.
If it was in Liverpool, it would be a summer's day. My mother would be out in a bikini.
Golf weather. I'd be out at Hoylake.
Do you know what I say to myself on days like this?
What?
When I first moved to America, I moved to Chicago.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the city, so I moved to the part of the neighbourhood named after me. Rogers Park.
Yeah.
And one night, I went for a drink in a bar called the Hop Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I spilt out onto the subway at ridiculous o'clock in the morning. Must have been about like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Had you been drinking?
Possibly.
A couple of jars.
I was a designated subway rider on the way home.
Okay.
And you know, in Chicago, they have the elevated platforms.
Oh, I love the elevated trains, the elevated railways. My father's a big fan of those.
And the wind, Chicago's the hawk ripped through. Uh-huh. The snow was pouring down. You're on the elevated. You're just getting battered from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
There was no one on the platform.
Yeah.
Apart from me. And as I walked to the end of the platform,
yep.
I don't know if he was really there or it was just my imagination.
Yeah.
But there was a tiny little Irishman.
Uh-huh. Stephen Quinn.
With a hat. He looked like Stephen Quinn in 60 years' time.
Okay.
And as I walked past him, he winked.
Uh-huh.
Doffed his hat in an old school way. And he just said to me, as we were both getting battered by the snow and the wind, he goes, "'Tis a wonderful night to be alive."
"'Tis a wonderful night to be alive."
And that's what I say to myself, David. It's so true.
Do you think he existed or he was a figment of your imagination?
If I was a betting man,
yeah, like a
I'd put money on the latter.
Leprechaun.
But I swear, David, it's one of the great... I don't have many mantras I live my life by.
Yeah.
But that is one.
It was a Hanukkah miracle.
"'Tis a wonderful day to be alive." Talking about holidays that are catching on.
Oh, Thanksgiving, Rog. Did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But not after last week when we said we've had trouble as new Americans trying to relate to it. And then I read the headlines of The Guardian, David.
1 in 6 Britons celebrates Britsgiving,
yeah,
Rog.
The UK's newest and completely unofficial holiday.
Yeah.
Waitrose, which is like an English...
Sort of food emporium. English, you know, I know the Piggly Wiggly. English...
Wawa. English Giant.
Vons.
They told The Guardian it estimates 1 in 6 Britons now celebrate Thanksgiving. Sales of turkey have gone up 95% in 5 years in November.
Problem is, it's mostly horse.
As it's a holiday of the future.
Yeah.
Do you understand it?
Borderless
world?
I mean, yes, partly.
Does it mean
and
Americans will
see
Morris dancing?
It's an excuse for business, which I completely approve of, to go and make more money. But it's really, to me, seems to be about Black Friday and Britons wanting to fight each other on Black Friday and commit acts of violence. Because if there's one thing that Britons love, it's violence.
And the taste of our own blood. That's two things separately.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was Americans did enjoy looking at English people beat the crap of each other out of each other for a Sanyo video recorder.
It's good that we got the holiday so quickly, Rog, that we understood the real meaning of Thanksgiving, which is beat the crap out of your neighbours as you're trying to sort of get a bargain flat screen, you know, 50-inch TV.
Which English holiday
will
America trade for in return for Thanksgiving, which it exported?
Oh,
St. Swithin's Day, July 15th.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Whatever the weather's like on St. Swithin's Day, it will be like that for the next 40 days.
Yeah.
If thou dost reign for 40 days, it will remain. What about Churchill Day? America, try that one on for size. Yeah. April 9th. Boxing Day.
I like Guy Fawkes Day. You need another holiday in America where you let off fireworks. July 4th isn't enough. Take November the 5th. Do the fireworks on Guy Bonfire
Night. Start Morris dance in America. It's very liberating. Yeah. By the way...
Remember, by the way, the British Thanksgiving is really Harvest Festival. Well, that's not a day, but remember when you would get back to school like the end of September and that hymn, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed all around." That was the Harvest Festival song we used to sing.
Pagan. The by the way, I do believe Thanksgiving will only really have taken off in England when the English Premier League plays a slate of games for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which I predict, Davo, exclusively here,
will
happen within 10 years.
Do you have inside information?
No, I just believe that the more the English Premier League becomes a global brand, how many Americans, do you think, woke up on Thanksgiving excited to spend the day with their families?
Yeah.
But a bit bummed that they couldn't watch. Well, I guess they could watch Europa League.
Yeah.
If they wanted. Yeah. But wish that
so
there was
Thanksgiving-y.
A...
It's not very Thanksgiving-y, actually, Europa League football. It's the opposite of Thanksgiving. By the way, it's talking of football, it's quite difficult to concentrate right now because in the background, as we pod, it's Tuesday afternoon. The full slate of Premier League midweek evening fixtures going on behind us. Man United versus Stoke and Fellaini's red hair, Rog.
Which we'll talk about in depth in a minute. There was one other storyline that I really, really loved.
Uh-huh.
I have to share it with you.
Tony B.
Putin's tiger ravages goat farm in northeast China.
Well, that was, wasn't he being let out to exercise just to go and do that?
It's my Ustin, a rare Siberian tiger.
Yeah.
Owned by Russian President Vladimir Putin, this is Associated Press, it bit and killed 15 goats.
Oh, good day out.
Left another three missing on a farm in Heilongjiang Province, Fuyang County.
Uh-huh.
My goal for 2015, David.
Yeah. What, anything about the miniature giraffes in that story?
It's to sit in with Vladimir Putin and his PR team when they brainstorm his press messaging. I mean, the ideas they come up with to make him seem more manly and undiplomatic.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what ideas they rejected.
Yeah.
Like leaking a rumour that Putin's undercarriage is made out of Valerian steel. Well, I'm sure one of them, probably the intern, said, what if we have you meet with the president of UK and just casually start lighting your farts during the meeting?
or you could have. Oh, too much.
Fear him, but I also...
It's why he's so popular in Russia. It's why he is so popular
in
Russia, Rog. We want to thank all of you who entered our War Pig competition. That was to win one of our 10 General Knot Men in Blazers ties, Rog. Unreal how many of you nominated Jedinak as the modern English Premier League incarnation of Mark Wilmots,
War
Rog.
Pig.
Very interesting.
The original
Jedinak.
War Pig.
He's the Australian War Pig. Oh, he's a War Pig. Winners include, who are going to receive this wonderful tie in red or blue, Daniel Cantor. He said Gary Taylor Fletcher is the new War Pig. His wiki page says he is 154 pounds. If that is right, I'm a monkey's uncle.
The diet starts tomorrow, says
Andrew Kelly also, the conversation must begin and end with Charlie Adam. No player seems more capable and likely of delivering a devastating tackle and injury to an opponent or teammate. From Carmen Sturkel, John Terry, of course, with his Peaky Blinder haircut.
Peaky Blinder, mister.
One can only worry what kind of beast is coming at you with such a butchered cut.
You had me at Peaky Blinder.
We're going to get those ties out to you guys and the other seven winners. The General Knot Men in Blazers Warping Ties, Rog, are still available. Just a few left to all GFOPs.
Just 50 left
via
of each colour now.
Our website. Wow,
53
50
red,
left.
53 red and 50 blue. This country is almost equally divided. 53 red ties, 50 blue.
Yeah, although the red tie does have blue in it, the blue tie does not have red, Rog. Stuff them in your stocking while you can. They're a limited edition, and once they're done, they are done.
Like us.
Yeah, it's very, very true. Pack show today, Rog. Big teams win. Well, most of them. Romantic teams lose, Rog. That means Everton. Chelsea drew. Landon Donovan's got one more game, Rog. One more game in his Galaxy uniform as Thierry Henry bids adieu to America. We tend to your Ravens. We talk Thomas the Tank Engine, Rog. We welcome royalty to the pod in the form of Rebecca Lua. And we have a limited edition Landon Donovan Xbox up for grabs, courtesy of our chums at EA Sports. Okay, to the football, Rog. Oh, let's crack open the Guinness.
Let's do it, David. It's the Men in Blazers holiday party tonight, David. Oh,
can't wait.
So to tweed.
I am going to drink a little. Cheers, Rog. Okay, Rog, 13-38 of the way through the Premier League season. Would you say money is starting to show through in the table? Money is starting to show its colours, Rog, in all places apart from Liverpool and Spurs.
I don't know, David, because to me, this season, the table's irrelevant.
Yeah. It
feels like every team is like 3 points from the relegation zone.
Yeah.
And 3 points from the Champions League places.
Yeah.
Just a big battle royale.
Yeah, last year's season it was a one-team mid-table. This year it's like pretty much an 18-team mid-table.
Just have a battle royale and throw each other out of a wrestling ring.
Okay, first big game, Rog. Southampton 0, where you're off to tonight. Manchester City 3. Manuel Pellegrini's men pour 3 second-half goals past a normally stringent Saints defence. Yaya Toure started the scoring the 51st minute with a low pile driver from just outside the box, even after Mangala was sent off in the 74th minute for a foul on Shane Long. City continued to surge forward. Frank Lampard, Rog, and Gael Clichy added goals in the last 10 minutes as the sky blue half of Manchester leapfrogged Southampton into second place. Southampton in crisis!
Oh, Davo.
Yeah.
Romance is dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that Southampton lost, the romance of the Premier League was snuffed out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was fascinating. It was a litmus test for this Southampton side. Everyone at the club had claimed their rise was no fluke, but the result of careful planning and youth development and scouting.
Yeah.
Cynics, meaning many journalists, suggested we wait until Southampton girded their loins against City, then Arsenal Wednesday night, then United next Monday. Adding in that by January, they'll also have to play Arsenal, Everton, Chelsea and United at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a reckoning, Davo, a reckoning for Southampton. But the game opened with a statement of the weekend.
Oh, my God, Joe Hart's moustache, Rog.
Oh, I've often wondered what Hitler would have looked like if he'd had the balls to go bottle blonde.
No, that's what Hitler wanted to look like.
That's what Hitler thought he looked like.
That's what when he looked, in the mirror, that's what he saw.
Do you think you do look at yourself in the mirror and have a pretty good sense of yourself?
I do when I'm straight on, but whenever I see a picture of myself from the side, and especially from the top, I'm always shocked.
Because when you think of definitive moustaches in history,
yeah,
you think Stalin, you think Hitler,
yeah,
you think Bert from Sesame Street.
Yeah, I mean, Wilford Brimley.
I mean, Joe Hart, I believe, has etched his name alongside of them
yeah,
as the man who single-handedly killed Movember.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Ice Bucket Challenge... I jumped the shark when one of those Kentucky firefighters got injured by a power line.
Yeah.
And I felt like watching Joe Hart, it was this equivalent of Movember for yeah. Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yeah.
He looked like Abe Fruman, the Sausage King of Chicago, or worse, Goose from Top Gun.
Yeah.
Super creepy Goose from Top Gun.
Yes, I made the point briefly on the TV show, though. It seems like an attempt to look more like Manuel Neuer in the week that he was... I think shortlisted for the Ballon d'Or, Rog.
At Ples Burgler said, whoa, look at the stash.
Yeah.
Put him in tweed and elbow patches and he looks just like my freshman site 101 prof.
Yeah.
Here's the question.
Before I get emails, by the way, I know that Neuer doesn't have a moustache, but he does look very German.
Was he self-aware, Joe Hart, and just trolling us? Does he have no self-awareness at all?
Good question. He's a very fashionable young man, Joe Hart, Rog. He's at the forefront of fashion. So
yeah,
he's
I've seen him once
vague.
Modelling in Julian Lescott's fashion, short-lived fashion.
Yeah, line. Yes, he likes fashion. So he's got to be a little bit vain.
And then really the question I'm getting to, which is the better way to go through life?
Yeah.
To be sensitive to all feelings and crippled by the realities of life, a bit like me.
Yeah.
Or to be cold to everything and just, it's my moustache, deal with it.
That is a typical Rog question. There are only two options. Either be like Rog
if you could be one
evil.
Or the other, would you prefer to feel things or not to feel things?
Oh, feel things. Rog, always feel things. Oh, got to feel things.
I wish I didn't sometimes, Davey. And Southampton wish they didn't feel things for the first 15 minutes because City came out.
Yeah.
They came out like Chuck Norris in Silent Rage.
Uh-huh.
Just laying waste to a bar full of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they seem like a team determined tactically to rip off their opponent's heads and just throw it at their feet with their own, in front of their own fans.
Yeah.
Where were you when you were crap, sang the City fans. They didn't say crap. They used a word that began with S.
Yeah.
Where were you when you were crap?
Responded to Southampton fans.
Yeah. And then Mike Jones, Dave, he did his best to keep Southampton in it.
Yeah. He's a... He's an interesting ref. He looks to lack confidence even when he's making the correct decision. And he made a couple of very, very poor decisions in this game. None poorer than the decision to card Sergio Aguero in the 9th minute for simulation when he was hacked down by Jose Font.
Oh, it was a head scratcher.
Yeah.
It was like booking or punishing Molly Ringwald just for being beautiful.
Yeah.
It was great commentating by Lee Dixon, by the way. I loved it. He immediately judged by Font's reaction. The defender was desperately trying to bullcrap to the ref that the foul occurred outside the box.
Oh, because he was pointing to 2.5 yards outside the area while he was standing a yard inside the box.
He knew he was guilty.
Yeah.
But Southampton took the punches on the chin.
Yeah.
Koeman, fascinating. All week, His message was, we are not an easy team to beat. It is not easy to beat us. And Wanyama, Schneiderlin, Stephen Davis forced their way back into the game. Southampton started to assert themselves. Quick passing possession, a little bit of movement, and a lot of chaos in the City box. But that was kind of it. The first half, David, is it possible for a game to be both thrilling and boring at the same time?
God, that's interesting. See, if one would accept that, you'd have to sort of accept the opposite, that a completely dull, crap game of football with no goals scored can be absolutely captivating.
Pitcher's duel.
Which I sometimes find.
Yeah, I mean, second half it changed. City took the lead.
Yeah.
It wasn't Aguero that scored. It was more fear of Aguero that scored that
fear
goal.
Fear of Aguero having an amazing season, you'd have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was Aguero that created the space, drawing half the Southampton defence over to cover him. And who stepped up? I thought he was meant to be crap, Dave. He's in danger of becoming consistent. Yaya
Toure, pile driver. Bring in the heavy artillery, Rog. He caromed it off a couple of other players, or at least one. But he hits a ball with such weight, Rog. It's moving.
Heft.
Force equals Zafted. Mass times acceleration. It's a very heavy ball that comes from the foot of Yaya Toure.
Heavy ball. It was only the second league goal Southampton had conceded at home all season.
Yeah.
And the question was then, how did they respond? I mean, they're not used to this, Davo. Going behind at home, and credit to them, they tried.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if their belief was ever really there, but they were also undermined by the fact that their set-piece execution was deeply mediocre.
Oh, it was awful, their set-pieces. But there are a couple of goal-mouth scrambles, Roger, and we love a goal-mouth scramble. But not a lot from their set-pieces and corners, certainly. It was just giving Joe Hart catching practice most of the time.
Zabaleta pushing the hapless Pelé into a TV camera seemed to sum up their whole second half.
Shot.
Which changed in the 74th minute. Mangala took out Shane Long.
Yeah.
Going down to 10 men, David, who did it wake up? Who came alive like Peter Frampton?
Well, Man City did, and Frank Lampard comes on, Rog. And
English muffin.
Just a typical, it's a Frank Lampard goal of yore, Rog. It's a goal that we have seen so many times from Frank Lampard. Arriving late, in space, edge of the area, player in front of him. Everybody thinks he's going to go right into the right-hand corner because that's where the angle of his run, the ball coming across from the left. He goes back the other way, keeper's blind, bottom left corner.
Oh, Dave, he's done it so many times, but he's always done it in the darker blue of Chelsea.
Yes, but why am I enjoying watching him score goals for Chelsea's leading contenders
for
the Premier
League
title?
I mean,
because I love Frank Lampard.
But now he's riding with Pellegrini's men, chasing down his former teammates. He's teaching the light blues his masterly ways.
But he's Lamps, and he's getting respect almost for the first time in his career.
Respect.
This is what's so ridiculous. He is suddenly, people are realising, oh, you know what, Lampard's actually quite good, even though we've been saying he's shit for years.
Well, there's a great, that's the word that I try not to use for the Southampton City song.
Yeah, I got it.
There's
well,
a great,
just used it right there.
Great line from The Simpsons.
Bleep that, JW.
There's a great line from The Simpsons doing the round to reflect his axing by Chelsea, where Homer says to his dad, Grandpa Simpson, you've done a lot of great things, but you're a very old man and old people are useless.
Yeah.
But to me, watching him, Davo, I keep thinking of the gent from Game of Thrones, Barristan Selmy.
Yeah.
Who was for a long time, was the Lannisters' King of Guards.
Yeah.
But has now gone over the sea and is serving the young wonder Daenerys. He said a beautiful quote that when I look at Frank Lampard run onto the field, I think of, he said, I've burned away my years fighting for terrible kings. A man of honour.
Projection.
Let me finish this.
Okay, good.
I'm going to start
again. This is not the first time I've heard it.
I've burnt away my years fighting for terrible kings.
Yeah.
A man of honour keeps his vows.
Yeah.
Even if he's serving, Davo, a drunk or a lunatic, just once in my life before it's over, I want to know what it's like to serve with pride, to fight for someone I believe in. And that's what
what Lampard's thinking when he runs onto the field.
Yeah, for Manchester City.
Yeah, he's had
someone
a terrible
I believe
time
in. Someone who believes
he
in me.
Didn't like playing for Chelsea at all, Rog.
Barristan Selmy.
For years.
English muffin.
For his record-setting number of appearances and goals. Oh, didn't like that.
He does.
Now he's happy.
He presents a fascinating dilemma for City, though, David.
Yeah.
When Lampard was out for 3 weeks of injury, City lost three games and won only one of the five they played.
Mm-hmm.
We know, because he's our mate, he's due to New York City FC in January.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be their featured star. But Yaya Toure is off to the African Cup of Nations for 6 weeks in January.
Yeah.
Here's the question. If City stay on Chelsea's heels,
yeah,
should he stay or should he go? And I'll give you a little help with this answer. Anyone who thinks that Man City would not prioritise winning the Premier League does not understand what moves a modern football club.
That's interesting.
Money.
I have a feeling that right now, up the street at NYCFC, they might be trying to think what Steven Gerrard would look like in an NYCFC.
We need another
jersey.
DP. Okay, check. We need him to want to come to New York. Check. He needs to be aging. Check. With legendary status on another team.
Check.
Yep. Stevie G.
Yeah.
I love Pellegrini's press conference. Question. Tell us about Lampard's future at City. Pellegrini will decide in December. Journalist. It's December tomorrow. Pellegrini, ask me tomorrow then.
That's so good.
Easy. We've only got 10 men and then we've only got 9 men, sang the City fans as Aguero raked that sick outside the boot pass, the Clichy's beard to Ramho.
A pass of beauty, Rog.
Oh, it's pornographically beautiful, David.
Yeah, sometimes I prefer passes than actual goals in football. Just so... so perfect. It sort of was so...
Give me tunnel or a great pass.
I love tunnel.
Yeah.
I love a great pass.
Yeah, a man cannot live on tunnel alone, though. Sometimes he needs a great pass. That
but
was
it was the unexpected pass. And it wasn't actually who it went to, but it's the manner in which he shifted his body weight, hit it with the outside of the boot, short back lift. Just fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. It just put the right spin on the ball just to stop perfectly in the stride of Clichy, Rog. Yep. Not your regular Premier League goal scorer.
Not many men take a picture of Adam Levine's beard to their barber and say, make it so. But three
I thought
goals
it was Adam Richman.
And a clean sheet against a side that had conceded just 6 times in their first 12 games. 3 wins on the bounce for City.
Yeah.
And Pellegrini says there's a long way to go. We have to play 25 games more. That's a lot of points to compete for. No one knows what will happen in the future.
Future. Just 6 points behind Chelsea, Rog. And that's just, in basketball or baseball terms, just 2 games behind Chelsea.
Yeah, they travel to Sunderland on Wednesday. They've lost 1-0 at Sunderland on each of their last 4 visits. I have to say, Ronald Koeman's eyes still twinkled post-game.
Yeah.
But his message was clear. It was not good enough today. We have to realise that. Southampton, they've now played 3 of last season's top 6, David.
Yeah.
They've lost all 3, Liverpool, Spurs and now City. To be candid, their goal is top 4. They know they're never going to win this league. But I'll say the loser of their Wednesday clash at Arsenal is going to feel very club in crisis.
Yes.
It's great timing for me to head over to Southampton.
Yeah.
And shoot a television show about the miracle of Southampton.
Yeah.
Just as that miracle is...
Southampton, what's going wrong will be the piece that ultimately airs.
In all sincerity, I am so excited to get it. It's for a documentary that we're going to air on NBC on Boxing Day.
Wow.
December 26.
Southampton, gateway to the world, Rog.
Yeah, it's the only thing between us and the French, the Wildings.
Well, the Isle of Wight is between Southampton and the French.
But I am fascinated. Right. I mean, what they've done, mock Spurs and Liverpool's attempt to say it takes time to gel, how they've scouted, how they've brought in new players who've hit the ground running almost immediately, and how most of all they have at their youth development academy is a many-headed hydra. You cut one head off, another pops through. Uh-huh. It has something, I believe, Davo, to do with starting to scout kids at the age of 5, which I thought only Fagan did in Oliver Twist. I'm going to find out more and report all in.
Yeah. Okay, Rog, next big game. Hate to bring this up. Tottenham 2, Everton 1. A classic case of scoring too early at White Hart Lane for Everton. A stunning, you have to say, stunning Kevin Morales strike, Rog. Put Everton ahead just 15 minutes in. Spurs hit back 6 minutes later behind Danish midfielder Christian Eriksen. And just before halftime, in Judge Ivor Bennett time, Roberto Soldado collected an Aaron Lennon pass and slid it past Tim Howard for the winner.
I think we put Nigel rules into effect too late, David.
Yeah.
This is a game in which I learnt the kind of pain known only hitherto for to Spurs fans.
Yeah.
Zachary Hawks tweeted us before the game, how are Spurs and Everton both going to lose on Sunday?
Yeah.
After their Thursday Europa League matches, the Premier League writers will surely figure out a way. If only they had. Spurs had lost 4 of their 6 league games after the Europa League.
Yeah.
Everton had only won once and lost twice after playing in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
This game, for me, was like the stoppable force against the movable object.
Yeah. Stay on, mate.
Well, I felt so great at the beginning. Everton took the field in their black,
yeah,
looking never more like the Night's Watch. They are the shield that guards the realms of men. Mm-hmm. And then Morales, Davo.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was an amazing goal.
He went all Corinne Halfhand.
What was the sound you made when it went in the back of the net?
It was the sound of soiling. Great soiling. But even as it went in,
yeah,
even as it went in, uh-huh, I made this noise that I can't even recreate. It comes from like deep in the back of my throat.
It's a guttural, primordial, yeah, squawk.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the kind of noise that I believe that the universe made at the inception.
Uh-huh.
That kind of a noise, just, yeah, when it was created. But I knew at the same time that noise would choke me, Davo, because, uh-huh, I knew what had Everton done.
Score too early, Rog. Classic case. I mean, you don't score that early with a goal like that, particularly, Rog, when you're away from home.
Yeah, I mean, because it was clear early they were heavy leg. Gareth Barry seemed barely fit. The injured, yeah, James McCarthy was sorely missed. And it was no surprise it took Spurs just 5 minutes to respond. God, they're young and fast. That team Pochettini picks.
Yeah.
And they ran at Everton, who gave them too much time and space. And Tim Howard. I have to say, Tim Howard, I say this with sadness, a player with whom a lot of Everton fans are very, very down. He won't like where he punched the ball right to Christian Eriksen.
Yeah.
But I thought that finish was just a work of genius.
He, yeah,
instantly, muscle memory, placed the ball where he knew the Everton defenders were least likely to look for it. He scored 5 goals from 9 shots on target, David.
Yeah, he's accurate.
Oh, at Chris Messeros,
so Danish,
tweeted, doesn't count double when Spurs score against 11 men.
Yeah.
But it got worse.
Yeah, it did get worse, Rog. An amazing Harry Kane tackle in midfield. Ball breaks to Aaron Lennon. Aaron Lennon, poor, wonderful little pass, Rog.
To creepy Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, to creepy Michael Fassbender.
I put in my notes, watching Soldado play, because he'd missed a sitter earlier. Yeah. I said, in my notes I wrote, watching Soldado play,
he'd failed to even control it.
It's like playing with a condom up front.
Yeah.
Well, that goal, Dave, as I said on the show last night, it was like watching a condom burst.
Yeah.
627 goalless minutes. First goal since March.
Yeah.
Everton had taken 2 worn-out cliches,
yeah,
and breathed life into them. They'd scored too early. Then they'd let Spurs take the lead in Judge Ivor Bennett time. Hashtag game of cliches.
Should have had a penalty. That's another cliche, Rog. Should have had a penalty later in the game, Rog.
We didn't deserve it, though.
Yeah.
Right at the end, Fazio handballed off Everton's free kick.
Yeah.
But I was so numb by then, Davo. Everton had all the possession. Spurs had just 38.9%.
Yeah.
But Ross Barkley couldn't influence the game from out wide.
Yeah.
And Everton had none of the quality or the desire to open up Spurs' well-organised defence. At Scalia's Boner, mm-hmm, tweeted us to say, watching Christian Eriksen work so hard in defence,
yeah,
is like watching a beautiful dancer mining coal in a poorly lit cave. Mine, he did. And when that penalty came through, the penalty appeal right at the end, which was a penalty, Davo, the honest truth is, didn't deserve a point. Flat, mediocre, bereft of ideas. Watching Everton, it's like having your teeth cleaned, Davo. It's something that I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Not to enjoy it, because I know you have to do it at least once every 7 years.
Yeah, that's now. I think in America, they do it more often than
Chelsea that. Chelsea await for Spurs.
Yeah.
Chelsea in crisis.
Yeah, Chelsea in crisis. Sunderland nil. Chelsea nil, Rog. Gus Poyet, former Chelsea star, parks the bus and snatches a point from the league leaders at the Stadium of Light. Despite a clear commitment to defence, the Black Cats did create chances, including one for none other than Jozy Altidore in the last 10 minutes, Rog.
Yeah. I mean, going into this game, all the press was about how Jose Mourinho's Chelsea have become England's Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Beautiful Chelsea,
uh-huh,
according to Jose, dominating the Premier League,
yeah,
crushing Schalke in the Champions League.
Yeah.
I'm playing the best football of my life,
yes,
says Cesc Fabregas. Diego Costa, 11 goals in 31 shots.
Yeah.
This game, David, they're playing Sunderland here.
Yeah.
To me, it was like watching a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
Sunderland's game plan, let's not get beat 8-0. And it worked.
It did work. Worked very well. I do think, though, that Chelsea have two weaknesses, and these are weaknesses that are left over from last season. One, very, very little squad rotation. He's playing the same team again and again and again. This is a team who is still alive in 4 competitions, Rog, and played Champions League midweek. A huge, fantastic win in Germany against Schalke. But, you know, same thing last season. They are going to tire. You go to Sunderland, it's a long trip. Hard to get up for that game after playing Champions League football. But the other thing is that lack of width and the lack of penetration from their fullbacks, Rog. Dave and Ivanovic just didn't make many advances up the sidelines. Everything came through the middle. It looks stagnated. It looks slow. And I've got to give Sunderland a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah.
More than defending, they put them under a lot of pressure.
Lee Cattermole.
Yeah.
Oh, man possessed.
Oh, I love it.
Humdrum football ensued.
Yeah.
And Gus Poyet, the Sunderland manager, is the man who Mourinho cannot beat.
Yeah.
1-2, drawn one of their clashes. Got to say, Diego Costa's petulance.
Yeah.
It's not quite so cute when he doesn't score, is it, Davey?
Yeah, but I think he was unduly criticised for that trailing right arm that looked clearly unintentional.
What about the kicking out at John O'Shea?
Yeah, but there was a little bit from both players in that incident as well. I think he is definitely that kind of a player, Rog. Amazing that we had a weekend in which Sergio Aguero and Diego Costa didn't score after they both started. But you know
and
what?
Soldado
like
did, Davo.
Yeah.
Soldado did.
What are the odds?
Another great moment of the weekend up there with Joe Hart's moustache was this.
Yeah.
In the 81st minute,
mm-hmm.
a sound which I will call Great American Contributions to Premier League Excellence.
Yeah.
Arlo White with a call.
Altidore in the penalty area. Josie Altidore, right foot! And it's blocked by Courtois. He was almost on the ground when he took the shot there, Josie Altidore. He's been a menace since coming onto the field.
Oh, yes, a menace, Rog.
Oh, I loved hearing Arlo say that in his own words, because I only just read Barry Glendening of The Guardian.
Yeah.
A Sunderland supporter,
uh-huh.
I believe. He'd written before the game, he'd written this. He said, Josie Altidore is, well, a player clearly in need of a fresh start elsewhere. By all accounts, the American is a tremendously nice bloke. But mystery continues to surround his role at Sunderland. If he doesn't score, can't run particularly fast, and isn't great at holding up the ball and linking play, what is the American actually for? He's a menace, David.
He's a menace. We are looking at that game through somewhat Josie Altidore tinted glasses. Rog, he's got to score goals. Rog, he's got to score goals. It was nice to see him mixing it up a little more physically. He's a big boy. We'd like to see a bit more physical play out of him. And he did look more physical, which I enjoyed watching. He was in it. Liverpool 1, Stoke 0, Rog, an 85th minute. Glenn Johnson goal puts a tourniquet on Liverpool's recent poor form. Despite earning all 3 points, much of the talk post-game was about Steven Gerrard being dropped to the bench by Brendan Rodgers, Rog.
Oh, Liverpool. It's fascinating over Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Liverpool stumble in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Against Ludogorets.
Yeah.
2-2 draw in which Brendan Rodgers' team conceded super early and super late.
Yeah.
It was great to watch. Both teams were convinced the other was crap.
Yeah.
And both teams were correct. I learned a great Bulgarian proverb while watching that game.
Yeah.
Seize the opportunity by the beard, for it is bald behind.
Yeah.
Seize the opportunity.
I know what they're going for.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but I love it. What do they mean?
Size the day is what it means in Bulgarian.
Something else I don't understand, but I love, was Brendan Rodgers' notes in the programme before this game.
Uh-huh.
He said, only confidence has been knocked.
Yeah.
Belief has not been affected.
Yeah. Oh, big difference between confidence and belief.
What has happened to his certainty, his elan, his poise, and other synonyms for
all
the same word?
All different things.
Everything was all just a beard behind which everything was bald, because the big story was Stevie G dropped after starting 16 out of Liverpool's 19 games this season. He was not alone on the bench. Lovren, Moreno, Lallana, Chan, Markovic.
Mm-hmm.
That was $136 million of summer signings on the bench for Liverpool.
No, they didn't buy these guys to help them contend in the Premier League. Why would they have spent all that money? They want them on the bench.
They want a good-looking bench.
Yeah.
Oh, but I tell you, they did have in there Ricky Lambert.
Oh, Ricky.
Leading the line.
Yeah.
I read a fascinating study in the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers at the University of Colorado have discovered, quote, forwards with relatively broader faces are better players. They have more aggression and other behavior. I don't know what other behavior is.
Yeah.
Sounds like phrenology to me, Dave.
Yeah, it's all about Wayne Rooney.
But if it's true, Ricky Lambert, his body is 73% face. Shouldn't he be scoring once or twice more?
Yeah, he should be. Should be putting it in the back of the net, Rog.
Stoke love this game for much of it. They chanted, "How do you watch this every week?" One of my favourite chants ever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Brendan Rodgers on the sideline. David Bowie, pressure pushing down on me. He'd moved Sterling central. Liverpool suddenly had menace. He was key at both ends. He cleared off the line from Diouf.
Yes.
Kept Liverpool in the game as Bojan sprinkled magic dust. Watching him, he's like Hansel in Hansel and Gretel.
Uh-huh.
Being fattened up by the witch's cave watching Bojan at Stoke. Uh-huh. But Stoke hadn't won at Liverpool since John Cougar was number one with Jack and Diane, David.
Uh-huh.
1982-83.
That's a while ago.
And what happened in this game?
Stevie G came on, Rog.
Yes. Exactly 16 years to the day.
Yeah.
After his first appearance ever as a sub. He came on with 50 minutes to set up the most mediocre grandstand finish ever.
Yeah.
It's a big face of Lambert.
Yeah.
Dubiously offside, thundering a header onto the bar. And then who swept in?
Oh, Glenn Johnson, Rod.
The much maligned.
Much maligned.
Glenn Johnson, who put his skull into the cleats of his opponents to head it home.
Yeah.
He's really not the first person you think of when it comes to courage levels, is it?
No, but he was a goal scorer earlier in his career. He just stopped doing that. You don't think of him being as much of a header of the ball. Saw him play centre-back a few times, both for Chelsea and for England. So he can head the ball, just doesn't do it very often.
But here he was, like Bella in Twilight. Surely it's a good way to die in the place of someone else, someone I love. Those could have been his last words.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just proof that there's no limit a footballer playing for a new contract won't stoop to, David.
So true.
Liverpool won.
Yeah.
In the same way as Mickey Rourke won his return to the boxing ring age 62.
Yeah.
I love that fight. Did you see that fight?
Oh, I love that fight.
In Moscow.
Amazing.
It's one of the best boxing matches in Moscow last weekend. So the AP wrote, several of Rourke's punches appeared illegal.
Yeah.
His final punch struck the stumbling Seymour on the buttocks.
Uh-huh.
And the 29-year-old went down on all fours until a referee stopped the contest.
He's a big boy, Mickey Rourke. We saw him at the Seth Meyers show. Wouldn't like to get punched by him.
He's definitely dropped some weight to make his weight
he
class.
Did.
Yeah, but then at the end of this game, thousands of Liverpool fans had to rejigger their weekend schedules. Now that sad nap they penciled in to their outlooks was suddenly redundant. My favourite tweet of the weekend wasn't at us. It was from that at the tweet of God.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted, "Stop praying to me about Liverpool. It's got nothing to do with me. Sometimes teams just suck."
Manchester United 3, Hull City 0, Rog. A tale of two teams heading in opposite directions. One up and one down the table. Goals from Chris Smalling, Rog, Wayne Rooney and Robin van Persie earned Louis van Gaal's men an emphatic victory in front of the Old Trafford faithful.
The Louis van Gaal revolution continues. First away win last weekend at Arsenal. First routine win again this week at home to a disconcertingly limp halt.
Yep.
Oh, their performance was summed up by Hatem Ben Arfa, a man whose arrival from Newcastle was meant to herald ambition, fluency and just unbelievable football.
Mm-hmm.
He was subbed off after 35 minutes with no injury.
Mm-hmm.
A performance that can best be described as scrawny arms Rob Lowe-esque.
Yeah, not a Steve Bruce kind of a player, Roger.
He won't be having any mayo either. Mayonnaise.
Uh-huh. Man United, this was a great performance, Rog. Are they back? Do you feel good about them? Has Louis van Gaal settled the ship, Rog?
3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Great goal by Rooney, who showed that he can rotate left as well as right on his knee slides.
Oh, that's good.
And just as valuable, RVP smiled.
Mm-hmm.
After thrashing home an explosive left foot master blaster.
Yeah.
Kind of goal he routinely scored back in his first 31 games when he netted 23 times.
Yeah.
He said after the game, "If I'm really honest, I needed that," which is refreshing.
That's true.
"From a footballer, it's how I feel when I first had a sip of Guinness."
Uh-huh.
So much joy off a comprehensive routine home win for United,
yeah.
Davo. These kind of wins used to be routine at Old Trafford. They've been only when I watched this game did I realise just how absent that kind of Old Trafford feeling was. A sense of what could be seems to be back again.
What I noticed, Rog, about United, way more speed in midfield. They are breaking with more speed. They're playing that sort of half-court game with more speed. Just more speed everywhere. And that makes an enormous difference. If they can get Rooney and Van Persie clicking with each other, Rog, that would be massive.
Another thing I noticed was the gingerification of Fellaini continues in the beta.
That seems to be important.
At JJ Barker tweeted us, Fellaini seems two dye jobs away from a new career as McDonald's chief spokesman.
Yeah.
He does look as if Al Fanani and Ronald McDonald had a bastard love child.
Yeah.
I think it must be some kind of a political statement, or else he's trying to pass himself off as a tall, Flemish-speaking Paul Scholes ginger ninja.
Mm-hmm.
One slight nag to the game, Di Maria.
He's trying to look like the Belgian flag. It occurs to me. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, that's a yellow, black and...
Yeah.
Red.
Red.
Di Maria tore his hamstring. Yeah. United's 41st injury of the season.
Uh-huh.
But afterwards, we saw a new LVG.
Yeah.
Imperious Vanguard.
Oh, we dominated the game.
That's what he said. We'd better get used to this puffy-chested Dutchman. Three straight wins on the trot, probably four by the time you hear this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A clean sheet for only the second time since September. At Briven Drago tweeted us to say, the form United is in reminds me of the glory days of the 2014 International Champions Cup.
Genius. Okay, Rog, West Ham 1, Newcastle 0. Calls of Pardew for Prime Minister subside, at least temporarily, as Newcastle's six-game winning streak in all competitions comes to a halt. Former Ipswich Town left-back, nice Ipswich reference, JW, Aaron Cresswell scored his first ever Premier League goal in the 56th minute to earn the Irons all 3 points. Nice bounce back after losing to Everton, Rog.
Oh, this was a battle of the Arivists.
Yes.
Slightly hamstrung injured, Arivis. Both teams were organised. And then Kouyaté Shast left Newcastle flat-footed.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Cresswell, young and talented, swooped in to finish and grab his first Premier League goal. Mm-hmm. The moment of the game was retro proper Newcastle. It was captain Moussa Sissoko.
Yeah.
Two yellow cards in 46 seconds, Davey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I loved it. He got his first one for booting the ball away when the referee had given a free kick. And then just doing the logical thing when he saw Andy Carroll sprayed over in a prone position.
To be fair, I thought you were allowed to do that to Andy Carroll.
Yeah, so did I. Even when the ref's standing right in front of you.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't resist but just steam in
on
Andy Carroll. That was proper, proper, proper Newcastle. And it looked like a man who really just wanted a week or two off.
Yeah. West Ham, by the way, that's going to be the next place you're flying off to, Rog, to go and do something about West Ham's academy.
The Sam Allardyce revolution.
Yeah.
Be an honour.
In other West news, Rog, West Brom 0, Arsenal 1. Arsenal avoid losing their third on the trot. Danny Welbeck headed home a pinpoint Santi Cazorla cross in the 60th minute. And the Gunners hold on to win at the Hawthorns.
Olivier Giroud is back. Yeah. Danny Welbeck, your time playing as the featured central striker is up.
Yeah.
I mean, the Frenchman, he's got a haircut like a Pan Am stewardess's bonnet.
Yeah.
But for Welbeck, two goals in 11 matches, that's the kind of form that will earn you some time out on the flank. And how well he responded. West Brom had all the width. Arsenal had much of the possession. They had incredible dynamism until they crossed the final third, when they suddenly had all the impact of a small wave breaking tamely against the beach. Arsenal don't attack, Davo. They dry hump.
Yeah.
For their fans, it must be torture, like 90 minutes of erotic grinding.
Yeah.
At Flyboy 0408, if it were baseball, Arsenal would have an awful case of failure with runners in scoring positions.
It felt like sort of Arsenal of old, that you just always felt like they were going to go find a way.
I thought West Brom were going to win on a sloppy counter-attack and steal it. Yeah. But they did. They went more direct in the second half. Santi Cazorla excelled throughout. Jack Wilshere out for three more months. Unbelievably, by the way. Do you know how many weeks he's been out in his career?
How many?
The Daily Mail calculated. He's going to be out for three more months. He's been out for 119 weeks through injury.
Wow.
He's played just 95 league games in 5 years.
That's amazing.
He's going to be out with a dodgy, dodgy ankle for the next couple of months. But Santi Cazorla was phenomenal.
Less than 20 games a season.
He's only played a few more than you and me combined, Davey. Santi Cazorla, remarkable. Went absolutely directly, thumped in a cross, and who jumped up 29 inches for the ball, Davey?
Wow, that's a lot of inches.
Danny Welbeck.
Yeah.
Daring to Josie, crushed it home with his head. It was very old school. West Brom, very interesting game plan.
Uh-huh.
They decided not to start to play until the 4 minutes of added time were signalled by the referee at the end of the game. They brought on 87 strikers. They pushed Ben Foster into attack. I love a goalie going up for corners and throw-ins.
It's always good.
But counter-narrative prevailed. Arsenal held on. Arsenal win. Welbeck scores. Arsenal fans experience a human emotion known as happiness, something they rarely get to experience. Even Arsene Wenger smiled. At Jeremy Bukalski says, happy Arsene Wenger, looks like an older French Michael Serra. It's delightful. But I think it might have been a grimace. Did you see what the Arsenal fans held up for him?
Oh my God, yes.
Thanks for the memories, Arsene, but it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Even in victory, the stench of decline is always there.
Yeah, the calls are increasing in volume, Rog. In other games, Swansea 1, Crystal Palace 1, the counterfeit Classico, first half goals from Wilfred Bony and Jedinak, Rog, saw football's equivalent of a fake Rolex end in a draw.
Been reading a lot of style sections conjuring the fake term lumber sexual.
Yeah.
Not quite sure what one of them is, but I imagine that Jedinak...
Pretty sure it's like Jedinak.
Yeah, it's one of he looks like a man who likes to make love to wood chippings.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In the Claret and Blue Classico, Rog, Burnley 1, Aston Villa 1, an 87th minute. Danny Ings, penalty, England under 21, coming into form, rescues a point for the home side at Turf Moor after a first half. Joe Cole, goal, Rog, remember him?
I do. He made his first start of the season. It was like a throwback to the early 2000s.
Yeah.
How would you describe him? Cheeky talent, confidence, so Londoner?
Yeah, well, he's a prodigy. As a teenager, as a kid even, Roger.
Remember, at West Ham.
Yeah, well, West Ham, and he's a youth player before West Ham when, you know, people used to say it's like watching a performing seal, like dribble the ball, volley the ball all around the midfield and sort of volley with the ball. He'd play keepy-uppy all the way down the park.
Jose Mourinho soon kicked out the joy of his game at Chelsea, but he has won 3 Premier League titles, 3 FA Cups, played at 3 World Cups.
Scored
David.
In a World Cup, Roger.
Beautiful goal. And then a cruciate injury in 2007 just smothered his career.
Yeah.
He's a forgotten man. And he looked like the best player on the field for long stretches.
You know why? Because he was.
It was cockle-warming. It was like signing a legendary player in Ultimate Team mode in FIFA 15, watching him. I loved it from a human perspective. Aston Villa fans, Roy Keane has left your building.
Yeah.
He's decided to concentrate on Ireland and trolling the rest of the football world with his book.
Yeah, I wonder what was going on there, Rog. Just very, very odd. And an offensive explosion, Rog, at Loftus Road as QPR bests fellow bottom dwellers, Leicester 3-2.
Yeah, I did enjoy Harry Redknapp revealing a secret to avoiding relegation. A challenge he believes the bottom 8 or 9 clubs will all fight to avoid.
As Harry said after the game, Rog, you have to eliminate problem personalities, or what he calls the S, from the dressing room. It's not just the 11 who play, Redknapp said. If you have half a dozen bleeps around you, you've got no chance. You can't win. They'll contaminate the rest of them. Bring the whole club down. They'll be negative everywhere, getting into good lads. And if you walk in and see one or two bleeps, then you're watching them, watching who they talk to and what they're doing. They suck as much energy out of you as anything.
As in the QPR locker room, so in life, David.
Yeah, very, very true. Okay, Rog, in an MLS... The LA Galaxy hosts the New England Revolution this Sunday for an MLS Cup, Rog. The Galaxy's second leg 2-1 loss to Seattle Sunday was enough. It was a fantastic loss. It was enough to send them to the final on away goals. That's a way to qualify for a final. New England advanced after a 2-2 draw with New York Red Bulls on Saturday. Just 2 days after that game, former Arsenal star Thierry Henry, Rog, announced he's leaving the Red Bulls and MLS, but another MLS legend and arguably the patron saint of American soccer, Landon Donovan, will take the field one last time
Saint
on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, one of my distinct pleasures of the weekend was watching Americans try and get their heads around the away goals room. WTF, you won, but you still lose?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for MLS, David. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the Henry versus Landon final they dreamt of. One, I guess a final that would really break through the sporting noise.
Yeah.
Especially with New York City FC about to launch.
Yeah.
All relative, David.
Yeah.
I mean, a Red Bulls win, it would have really been golden for them. But New York, David, Thierry Henry. How do you feel about him? An aging superstar. Where does he go? When he arrived, I remember doing a lot of radio where people would be like, why is he coming to an elephant's graveyard? I mean, he wasn't coming to an elephant's graveyard, and he actually found it here much harder to play than he imagined. But where does one go now?
Well, I don't know where he goes now. I mean, It's been an odd few years watching Thierry Henry in New York. He's such an amazing player, and he has had some phenomenal moments in the Red Bulls uniform. But at the same time, anybody who saw him play all those years for Arsenal and playing for France, it was almost like watching, you know, it's like watching the post-game. It wasn't really the game. It wasn't the real thing. It was just tough to watch for me.
I found it very odd, David. I mean, stars come here because they love the change.
Yeah.
They love the chance to build something. They love the financial opportunity that coming to America and helping this project, this MLS project.
He never seemed to truly have his heart in it.
And they also love the anonymity that America offers, David. I always felt, though, Thierry had an odd relationship with both of those things. Mm-hmm. I first met him when he came on Morning Joe when he arrived in New York. I remember watching him check in at Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
And he walks up to the security guard with the MLS press guy.
Yeah.
And the security guard looks at him and goes, ID, name. And Thierry Henry looked at the security guard just in horror, giving him the, do you not know who I am? And he both wanted to be a normal civilian, but he couldn't adjust to being an unrecognized normal civilian.
Yeah.
And it always felt like he was giving MLS the, do you not know who I am? And as a result, it always felt to me, and this may be a bit unkind, he felt a tad ashamed to be out here. Mm-hmm. Never really warmed to the league. American sporting fans didn't really warm to him. There's the excellent Graham Parker wrote a piece in The Guardian. He said the Red Bulls fans' love of him was a belligerent love. But a very odd chapter, one in which...
What's a belligerent love?
They loved him, but it was a complicated kind of love.
Yeah.
And the fact that he didn't deliver an MLS Cup to the Red Bulls perhaps is a great statement for MLS, that it's much harder to swan in here and dominate the game than you'd imagine.
Yeah.
Then you see Landon Donovan fighting against the dying light. The Sounders looked to have the upper hand for much of the first half. Landon ran around looking very Mags from Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. He was pretty helpless. But then in the early second half, he just changed, stepped up, dangerous crosses, corners. He found Janinho in the space and he managed to get the goal, the away goal that moved LA into the final. Who will win this game, Dave?
Think you want narrative, you want the story, it's got to be an LA Galaxy, Rog.
Yeah.
And Landon Donovan.
Yeah, it's in their nature.
Yeah.
I read this week that a female squid has a natural defense for escaping and wanting male attention.
Yeah.
It has special light reflecting cells that create the illusion of testes. Mm-hmm. They essentially wear fake testes to avoid male advances, David. Mm-hmm. In the same way, I think LA Galaxy have a natural predilection for winning.
It's very similar to that, to a squid's fake testes.
Yeah, I love New England. I love that Charlie Davis is thriving again.
Yes, good.
And I adore Jermaine Jones in a way he set the bar for Germans embracing their Americanness. But I believe Landon will have his day. And that's not just the filmmaker in me who's following him around with camera crews, capturing his last games for a fly on the wall documentary with Johnny Hock.
Can't wait to see that, Rog. In honour of Landon Donovan's final game, we've partnered with the GFOPs at EA Sports to give away a limited edition Landon Xbox, Rod.
What is a limited edition Landon Xbox, David?
Well, it's only one of eight in the world.
Is it one that goes on holidays to Cambodia?
Yeah. Retires a little early.
Yeah.
Doesn't get picked by Jurgen for the World Cup.
And finds itself in its post-retirement life.
And then there's a film made about it by Roger Bennett and John Hart.
Oh, terrible film.
Only one of eight in the world, Rog. We will post a photo of it on MenInBlazers.com.
It's beautiful. I have it in my office. It is gorgeous.
So in order to win this, we want you to sum up St. Landon's career in one piece of art. It could be music, it could be writing, painting, cave drawing, anything you like. It could be a live performance of some kind, Rog. We ask you to send them via email or social media using the hashtag Landon's Legacy.
Ooh, it's a bit deep.
Yeah, can't wait for that, Rog.
And you can also email them to us at meninblazers@gmail.com. And by the way, if you do a cave painting, you can take a photograph of the cave painting. You don't have to send us the actual cave.
Yeah, or, Raven couldn't fly all the way up here with a cave, Rog.
But we're talking about Ravens before we get to them. We had a lovely email on the who should be the next super creepy Rob Lowe from at @P_Keys.
Yeah.
What I wouldn't give to see super Julie Foudy Rob Lowe.
Very, very funny. Well, talking of Rob Lowe, and no relation also, our guest on the Men in Blazers television show Monday was an English football presenter who will likely influence American soccer the same way the Magna Carta influenced the Constitution. Rebecca Luhr was gracious enough to stick around after we filmed the show with her
after
to
the
answer a few more questions. Here's what happened in our After the Pies Extra, Extra, Extra with Rebecca Lowe.
Here we are, the crap part of Soho. The woman behind us, Rog, needs holding a pie. The woman holding
after
a pie
pies.
Needs no introduction. If NBC's quartet of Premier League football pundits was Led Zeppelin, Rog.
She'd be Morrissey.
No, she'd be Robert Plant. She's an analogy didn't work at all. She's an English rose amongst two thorns, Rog. Welcome to the Panic Room, Rebecca Lowe.
Thanks, Jen.
Merseyside class of 99.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, just a couple of years above me.
Yeah, 14.
We have a bulging mailbag from GFOPs across the nation, yep, eager to ask you questions. Mm-hmm. One incredible question that the two of us kind of smothered together just before you got here.
Okay. Yeah.
You're so informed.
Yeah.
Your questions are so insightful. Always
they're
pushing
like, Rog, they're like lasers.
They advance the conversation, but you really do push the ball forward.
Yeah.
Who are your kind of role model pundits that you based your career on?
Pundits or presenters?
Both.
P's. P words.
Well, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to look past Alan Hansen. What a legend. Do we think
great.
Everyone will know?
Scottish footballer, played for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Slightly
and also
dodgy
a broadcast. It was on Match of the Day for years and years and years, which is the big late night show.
Brilliant.
In England.
But my absolute number one was Des. And Des Lynam is somebody.
Lynam.
You can just go by the first name, can't you, in England? Just Des. Yeah. Just Des. Everyone knows who Des is.
Well, he had a Robbie Earl moustache all the time.
Still does.
Des Lynam.
Still
not
does.
Just for Movember.
He was very smooth. Unflappable.
And unflappable. Just like the most consummate pro of all consummate pros, love Des.
My mother always had a bit of a thing.
I think a lot of mothers had a thing.
Yeah,
for
that's
Des.
Why he was successful.
And grannies.
Yeah.
Is it difficult? It's a question we got from a lot of our female listeners at Katie Belmore. Mm-hmm. Has it been difficult being a woman in a male dominated industry? Do you feel that men underestimate your knowledge of football?
At times, it has been difficult. Yes, and there are times I think that you do have to work extra hard if you're a woman in the sports industry. But I think that the minute you enter the industry, you know that that's going to be the case. If you don't want to do that, then get out. So, yeah, there are times, though, I can't lie, where it has been really very difficult. But I think that the pros outweigh the cons.
And is that different in America, as opposed to Britain?
No, I actually think it's better in America.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not as pronounced. I think that there's still a lot of work to be done back home where this is concerned. But I think it's still everywhere in the world. But I think America is. There's so many more women in sports on TV.
Yeah,
I mean,
without
a doubt. It's brilliant. So I don't feel such a kind of, oh, look, it's a woman in football.
Yeah.
Whereas in England, there is actually a group called Women in Football because there needs to be, because they need help and support.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit earlier on about how on the show before the pies as opposed to after the pies about Robbie Earl and Robbie Musto. And I mean, you didn't know them particularly well before you started doing this.
I never met Robbie Musto and I'd interviewed Robbie Earl once.
Yeah.
And that was it. But now I have to say they are friends, two of the best, and Kyle, the three of them are up there, the three best people I've ever worked with. I mean, they are genuinely, are genuinely the dogs. You know what?
Yes, they are.
And Michael North. Yeah. Rebecca, do you have a favourite Robbie?
Yeah.
How can you ever? I mean, there's so many good things about both Robbies.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to separate.
Have you watched Sophie's Choice?
What do they do outside of work?
Just do Robbie things, you know?
Like what?
Just, you know.
Do they go everywhere together?
Yeah, holding hands.
Yeah.
Musty, we call him Musty, which was my thing once by accident on air. I called him Robbie Musty, and then it's just stuck. So we call
Musty.
Him Musty.
That's good.
Musty, and that rhymes with so many things. And occasionally.
Early.
And I think Musty has a mountain bike and goes cycling, and Earl just hangs out on the West Coast, just sunning himself.
You
just
called
being cool.
Lee Dixon Graham Lasso this weekend.
Oh my God.
Do us white football lovers, do we all look the same to you?
Men generally. Can I just tell you a story? So this is the weirdest thing, because I'd just spoken to Lee, and we were chatting down the line in the advert break. And then, I mean, talk about brain freeze. I threw, and I didn't even know I'd said it, that Robbie's didn't know I said it, the production team, no one in the studio, neither did Arlo. Did you see Arlo's reaction? He was just like, thanks, Rebecca. And then poor Lee was like, hello? Just been called Graham. That was kind of weird.
Oh, that's always
embarrassing.
That's always a good one. So, up there.
Where?
Just up there in Connecticut, which is like a strange, magical land that Rog and I are mainly not invited to.
For good
reason. For good reason. So up there when the games are going on.
Yeah.
Does it ever get... You seem so relaxed on the set always. You seem so calm and always professional. But does it ever get tense?
Not really. I have to say, not really, because it gets exciting when we've got all those games happening and goals are going in and we're like trying to keep up with it all. Because sometimes we're watching six or seven games at the same time, so we're trying to keep up with that. That can get a bit tense if things are happening.
Yeah.
But on the whole, the thing about football is it's the best. It's just the best thing ever. So there's nothing to be tense about. It's just like the greatest game in the history of games.
Yeah.
So we're showing it. Let's talk about it. Nothing to get tense about except when Palace are losing, and that's about it.
Couple of Palace questions.
Yeah.
Marouane Chamakh, he watches this show.
Yeah, loves it.
What advice do you have for him about his hair?
It's interesting you should ask that, Rog, because over the weekend we actually had that discussion in the studio, not on air, obviously. And I think he's just got to get rid. I think when you're in that position, because of the rain, like you pointed out at the weekend, the rain causes him so many issues.
Issues.
I just go.
Problems
just get
in
rid.
Sector 3.4.
Correct.
Yeah.
Get rid, no problems.
Chamakh plus rain equals the truth.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Neil Warnock's eyebrows? We can't work out whether his plucking or Graziano Pelle's.
Yeah.
If there was like a Premier League table of beautifully, artfully plucked eyebrows.
Yeah, good plucking.
Neil Warnock, discuss his eyebrows.
Neil Warnock, his eyebrows are phenomenal.
Yeah.
The height of his tracksuit bottoms. Have you seen the height? There's a touch of Vincent Tan about them.
High-waisted.
A touch
is very
of
in.
The Vincent.
Yeah.
He's at NBC, he's known as the gym teacher.
Yeah.
He does look a bit like a gym teacher, but I just love Neil Warnock.
Yeah.
I mean, his name is an anagram of something that you can tweet out and I can't say here. And quite frankly, I'll tell you about it later.
Okay, got
quite
it.
Quite frankly, his first name's Colin. Put it
okay,
way.
God, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, Isn't that amazing.
Isn't that good?
That's amazing.
How good is that?
Okay.
So within football circles, he's known as Colin.
Okay, very, very good. Jedinak, he is a hard... I mean...
Yeah.
He's an attractive man.
Is there a bromance?
You'd have to say,
room?
I mean, huge. More than a bromance. What's higher than a bromance? I mean, that man.
Just a full on love
is in. Full on love on. He's a hard man of football.
He is.
But what goes through your mind when you see the Crystal Palace cheerleaders?
What?
Have you ever, by the way? I have never seen cheerleaders in British sport.
No, so these are, by the way, these are cheerleaders
who've
been around for,
no,
they are. And I remember going when I was in my teens and watching the Crystal Palace cheerleaders. They were called the Palace Crystals back then. Are they
crystals.
Still called? Okay.
Wait a minute, are these the people you auditioned for in that story you told me the other day when we were...
Okay, sorry. That
okay,
was me.
You. Sorry, Rog, I thought that was right.
I didn't get the job.
Okay, got
but
it.
But they were... Back in the day, in the 90s, they weren't very good. They were a little kind of just shaky. They're good, Rog.
They are.
Are they?
They're good. No, you need to see the full routine.
You're looking at the world through palace tinted glasses. As Robert Frost says, the road not taken.
But what a pre-game show they've got. They've got an eagle.
Kayla is alleged.
Kayla.
That's her name.
Yeah.
Kayla. She's set free from one goal to the other. I mean, I love Kayla.
Are eagles native to England? Or did they bring poor De
Croydon? We think that on a bad day for Palace,
in
she just goes out.
Right. Eagles are in Penge.
She goes out, lets her
maybe
feathers
Sydenham
out.
Maybe Sydenham or Streatham.
Yes.
You find
she
an
loves,
eagle.
You do. And, and Kayla's got mates. And she goes out down Croydon High Street on after a tough Saturday.
Yeah.
She maybe has a few.
Yeah.
Lets her wings down.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
doesn't
we
doesn't like
about.
The boys from Whitgift.
No. Oh, that's
cool.
Sting says, if you love Kayla, set her free every home game.
Yeah.
Final question for me at RP Walsh. Rebecca, do you need help? Blink twice if these two men are hurting you.
She did that. So here's my big question for Rebecca Lua.
Gosh.
We're going deep. We're about to go deep.
Oh, crikey.
So where do you go from here? You've moved to America.
Oh, God.
You're like the classic 17th century English female immigrant to the New World in search of fame and fortune.
You make it sound like Frank Lampard.
Yeah, similarly, you might never be coming to America, Rog. So, where does it go from here? Like, you're American. You've been featured on the big American sports talk shows. They had you on the NFL coverage the other day. I mean,
I think,
you've done the Olympics.
I know.
You went to Russia.
How good's that? It's been it has been properly amazing. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure.
Sign with a big Hollywood agency.
I just think that really that's out.
You've got a pie.
Yeah, you got a pie. You're here pie. In the crap part of Soho.
That's it. This is it.
It reaches the pinnacle. It's all downhill from here.
I think it could be.
But talk about the American thing. So I love American accents. You know, it's one of my favorite things. We were going to go through and do a little bit of dueling because I love accents.
Dan Patrick.
You
love.
We've heard Dan Patrick. How do you do the American accent? You did it on the NFL. You go a little bit Valley girl.
A touch.
Well,
either Valley.
Define
or
a touch.
Very.
Yeah.
Or a touch Alabama sometimes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, a little.
You go Southern.
Depends
I can go
what the
Southern.
Words, can you?
Jay
I can
Rogers.
Go. I'm better Valley.
I go Southern. So we're going to duel a little bit. We're going to say some names of players. We're going to say some names. Okay. I'll go first, and then you'll try and out American me.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to announce them. Okay. Here we go. Jay Rodriguez.
That sounds like a movie voiceover. Okay. So I would go. Jay Rodriguez.
Oh, that's very so good. That's good. Okay. Joey Barton.
I love how breathy you are.
I am so breathy.
Mine would be Joey Barton.
Joey Barton.
Mine's a lot quicker than yours.
He's so cute.
Barton.
He's so cute. Okay. Oscar Ramirez.
It'll be like Oscar Ramirez. Oscar Ramirez.
Oh, so good. What?
Most American name I can think of in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Josie Altidore.
Oh, Josie Altidore.
Jose.
Jose. I love Josie Altidore. It's like, so that's Southern.
Oh,
that's when you go Alabama.
Oh.
You got Josie.
Josie.
Josie. Josie. Josie. I love that. I love Josie. He was in the year below us at Mercersburg. A lot of Southerners at Mercersburg. Very true. This has been amazing. It's a dream come true for me and Rog to have Rebecca Lua down here in the crap part of Soho.
No one has done more to advance the game other than the 1950 US World Cup team.
That's very true. The whole of the North American Soccer League didn't do what Rebecca Lua has done. A lovely lady, Rog. We had dinner with her afterwards. Whoa, we're such fans.
She is brilliant.
Yeah. Three most impressive Mercersburg Academy graduates of all time, Rog. Number one, Rebecca Lowe. Number two, Benicio Del Toro. Number three, Jimmy Stewart. Don't even make the list in the top three. Don't even get there. We're going to put a video.
You normally put yourself in at number two.
No, I don't. Not anymore.
Del Toro. Amazing.
Yeah, he's amazing. We're going to put a video version of that interview on our NBCSports.com page, Rog. It's NBCSports.com/MIB. The first part goes up later Wednesday. Okay, Rog.
Thanks to all of you. Keep sending images of last night's show back to us with the two of us clipped out or in black and white. And Rebecca Lowe just, amazing.
It's the Rebecca Lowe show last night. Okay, on to our Ravens, Rog. Our first Raven comes from Rodney Rost, another great name. In their infinite, uncorrupt wisdom, FIFA elected Messi, Ronaldo, and Manuel Neuer as the three finalists for the Ballon d'Or. Who do you think should win?
Well, Manuel Neuer won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Lionel Messi keeps breaking records every week. Most goals in La Liga, most goal in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. Cristiano Ronaldo scores more goals than most teams put together. Mm-hmm. And Real Madrid won the Champions League. So the answer's clearly Stephen Naismith or Carl Beckham.
Oh, yeah, I got to see where you're going. You know,
why are they not in it, by the way?
Yeah.
KB5.
Yeah.
It's meant to be the best players.
Yeah.
Not the ones with the most endorsements.
Not the ones with the best publicists.
Yeah.
I actually think this is one example where FIFA got something absolutely right. Those are the three best players in the world. They are the three who should be competing for the Ballon d'Or.
I'm surprised there were no Qatari players in the final three.
I loathe Manuel Neuer. I will never forgive him for his crime against Frank Lampard in the... I know you always roll your eyes at me. In the 2010 last 16 game where the ball clearly went over the line and he just wasn't honest. He was not honest enough to say, you know what, ref, you got it wrong. It was clearly a goal.
Forgive Sean Penn.
However, I must say that in some ways I think Neuer deserves it. He is a goalkeeper. He is redefining the position of goalkeeper. He's redefining what a goalkeeper is, and I could see a very strong argument for him winning it. I don't think he will.
No goalkeeper's won since Lev Yashin claimed it in 1963.
Yeah.
I agree. You watch him week in, week out. He's almost mocking opponents. He's doing Rabonas in his own penalty area. He's coming out doing keepy up. But he is so dominant in his position. Mm-hmm. And the teams he play on are so dominant. Give it to the German.
Did you just say give it to the German?
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations also to Nadine Kessler, Rog. She's the German international. Marta from Brazil. And GFOP Abby Wambach, Rog, of the US women's national team.
Come on,
who was shortlisted for the Women's Award. The coveted Guinness Men in Blazers poet, philosopher, soccer scribe, Raven of the Week is the Reverend Stuart Lamkin of Louisburg, North Carolina, or Lewisburg, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. Dear Rog and Davo, as a father of two young boys, I spend much time thinking about watching, discussing, and playing with Thomas the Train, or the tank engine, as we call him. So I was delighted with a recent episode which featured the island of Sodor's soccer team, Sodor United.
Right?
Stuart goes on, he describes the episode which involves Derby Day on Sodor. We'll post the 10-minute episode from YouTube on our Facebook page. It's a slice of magic, Rog. And back to the Right Reverend Stuart Lamkin. I love the episode, but it filled me with questions. What is Sodor United's history as a club? What league are they in? Who's their Derby Day rival? Some team from the Isle of Man, maybe? And since Sir Topham Hatt owns seemingly all the transportation services on the island, I assume he owns the football team as well. Is he an Abramovich-type owner, a Vincent Tan type, or more hands-off? Either way, I assume he's shoveling money into the club, hoping to start a dynasty. And if I ever find a Sodor United uniform, that's one team I wouldn't mind going full kit wanker for. Courage. Be blessed, the Reverend Stuart Lamkin. I can't believe that the Reverend Stuart Lamkin wrote Full Kit Wanker. That's my favourite thing about that, Raven.
They're two, they're four, they're six and eight.
Yeah.
Shunting trucks and I love
it. Is that the song for Sodor United? Is that their chant? They're two, they're four, they're six, they're eight.
Oh, I love Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
Always been fascinated by it.
Yeah. I don't know that I loved it that much, ever, as a kid or as a father of a son.
I didn't say I love it.
Yeah. You'd be fascinated by it.
I'm fascinated by the allegorical messages that exist below the storylines in an Animal Farm kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
My mate AJ Jacobs, the writer, he and I had oldest kids the same age, and they were both obsessed with Thomas the Tank.
Yeah.
And we'd sit together, we'd watch together, we'd buy the books. We invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in cheap wooden track. And we even sat through for the first half of Thomas the Tank Engine, the musical, which was unbearable. We'd often talk about how an island exists in which man and machine cohabitate under what appears to be autocratic dictatorial rule, David.
Yeah.
So Topham Hatt,
the
manager of the North Western Railway, known in England, slightly unpolitically correctly, they call him there the Fat Controller.
Yeah.
The island of Sodor is meant to be idyllic.
Oh, I like Sir Topham Hatt. I like that aspect
you like
of the story.
The more you watch the show, though, Dave, I think it's about Albania and Enver Hoxha.
Yeah.
In which the economy is centrally controlled by a maniac dictator. Workers toil in slave-like conditions down the mines. Free salty, the dock engine.
Yeah.
Unions are busted. Your neighbours inform on you and the unbearable lightness of being is all pervasive.
Yeah.
So which English football club would that be? Driven to the edge of destruction by tyrannical, maniacal owners.
But it could be many, Rog.
Exactly. Too many.
Yeah. Leeds United, maybe.
Yes, it could be Leeds. I mean, I've just read David Goldblatt's new book, Game of Our Lives, and he has about 100 pages about different clubs driven to the edge of destruction by nut jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be less Abramovich. It would be less Mike Ashley at Newcastle. For me, it could be Leeds.
Yeah.
Once great club. It could be Wigan Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Whelan. Appointing the snide, racist, misogynistic Malky Mackay.
Oy.
And then defending his racism by explaining his comments about Chinese people were harmless.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying, it's true though, Jewish people do chase money more than everybody else.
Oy.
What would Karl Marx think if he heard that? In Thomas Tank Engine language, he'd say revolutions, they're the locomotives of history, David.
Yeah. Well, I like Sir Topham Hatt. I mean, he never said anything like that. He loves all people.
He's a bastard. Go on.
Bring okay. him down.
Rise up, people of Sodor. Rise up. I think we broadcast onto Sodor.
Yeah. Yeah, with Big and Sodor.
You can't understand where there's
we're
not.
We're going to do a live show
in
Sodor.
You don't even know where Sodor is because it doesn't have a Four Seasons.
There's a Ritz-Carlton. The Ritz-Carlton Sodor is absolutely lovely. Okay, your weekend looks like this, Rog. Newcastle versus Chelsea, 7:45 a.m. Saturday on NBCSN. Manchester City versus Everton, 12:30 Saturday. That is on the NBC television network, Rog. West Ham versus Swansea at 8:30 a.m. That's Sunday on NBCSN. As we mentioned earlier, and LA Galaxy hosts and New England Revolution in an MLS Cup and Sunday at 3 p.m. and Eastern on ESPN.
Wish you were again. Yeah, me too. I'll be in Southampton.
There are many ways to connect to us, Rog. One is through our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going. Anytime you go on Amazon for items, big or small, click off the Emporium page. MIB gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the cost of creating the show. What are you sticking in the Emporium this week?
A book!
Yes.
Into the Silence. The Great War, Mallory and the Conquest of Everest by Wade Davis. You know, we've been very invested at Men in Blazers in the move to Tweed.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm picking up my jackets today. Mm-hmm. George Mallory, the Englishman who attempted to make the first ascent of Everest in 1924, he wore a Tweed suit. We talked about that on the pod. This book was sent to me. It traces his team's genesis, the Everest Mountaineers, their formation from the front line in Western Europe during the First World War. He once wrote home from the front. It's beautiful, this. He said, "If hereafter I say to a friend, 'Go to hell,' he will probably reply, 'I don't much mind if I do. Haven't I perhaps already been there?' It's a gorgeous book that inspires you to be more and to do more in your life and to live in awe of those who came before us and their tweed."
Yeah. Rog, I'm putting in a book also. You know, one of my favourite issues of the Financial Times every year, the Financial Times weekend, is when they do their Books of the Year. This past Sunday, Books of the Year, I've already just torn through it, ordering books, Rog. And the book I'm most excited to get, because you know I'm a bit twitchy, we're both a bit twitchy, we both like bird life.
I love the birds.
Listen to how great this sounds. H is for Hawk by Helen MacDonald. Winner of the 2014 Samuel Johnson Prize for Nonfiction. MacDonald's account of training a goshawk. Is that how you say it? A goshawk.
Goshawk.
A goshawk. After the death of her father, blends memoir, nature writing, and literary biography. Sounds like an amazing book.
I tried to buy that for you.
You did?
It's not out in America.
Okay, we're putting it on Amazon. That's why it's on Amazon.co.uk, Rog.
Love you.
Yeah.
Love you, Davey.
Okay. Rog, other way to connect to us, especially if you're a new listener, meninblazers.wikispaces.com/.
It's a miracle in the modern world.
Go to meninblazers.com, sign up for our newsletter there, follow us on
Twitter.
It's a
slightly less miracle in the modern world.
At meninblazers, at Rog Bennett, at Embassy Davis, on Instagram, at meninblazers. Go to our Facebook. We've got a subreddit, Rog. It's maintained by GFOP Akshay. That's reddit.com/r/meninblazers. You can send your emails to meninblazers@gmail.com. Send your ravens to the crap part of Soho.
I've got a question for you.
Go.
What should I ask Ronald Koeman? I'm slightly terrified of his big head. Do you have a question for
me? I think you should get that right off right at the beginning. Ronald, I'm afraid of your rather big head. What should I ask you so that I shouldn't be afraid of your big
head? How do you hold up your enormous head with your tiny hands during games?
That's good.
That's what I want to ask him.
Does it take you an hour and a half to brush your teeth because your mouth is so big and your enormous head?
Do you use
a
normal person's toothbrush or do you have one for giants?
Do you have to have your hats specially made so they're big enough to fit over your enormous head?
Thanks, David. I've only got 25 minutes for them. That'll get me
When you buy an extra large sweater, is the hole at the top too small to fit over your enormous head?
We're going to go in deep on this one. Go on, I can't wait. Boxing Day, this documentary will come out. All of the answers will be revealed.
Vendorpunk Rog.
War pig ties.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosion.
Courage.
Size the day.
Is that your analysis?
To Tweed.
Abrigado. Rock on, mate.
Oh, Kung Fu Fight in America.
Love you, Rog.
Love you, Davo. Big head.